Welcome to the podcast. I'm Joanna Colbert, and you're listening to The Casting Session. I decided to create this podcast out of a desire to help actors feel more confident in their auditions. This podcast is an inside look at filmmaking through the perspective of casting. In these interviews, I'm going to provide you with in-depth, enlightening, fun conversations with the industry's top casting directors, actors, directors, and producers. We're going to cover a range of topics, like the audition process, and the role casting plays in the collaboration with directors, and the overall craft of casting. Basically, we're giving you a behind-the-scenes look into the casting process. So without further ado, I bring you The Casting Session. Welcome to The Casting Session. I am super excited because my guest today is Jess Kelly, the incredible casting director who has cast Euphoria, Pieces of a Woman, Emily in Paris, Precious. She is both New York and LA, which is a bit of a rare, wonderful thing for a casting director, and has been doing her craft for many, many years. So I'm just thrilled to have you on the show, Jess.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I love to geek out about the audition process and really sort of ask casting directors that I admire to give me their idea of what the audition really is. Is it acting? Is it something separate from acting? Is it a learned skill? So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's different approaches in terms of whether an actor is coming in for a leading role or a series regular role versus a day player. I think, you know, series regulars and leads, not only do we want the best actor, but I think so much of that is somebody's personal charisma and energy. You know, somebody like Drew Barrymore, you know, just has this like infectious charisma about her. And that's what made her be able to hold somebody's attention for 2 hours. I don't know, that's just one example that came to my head. But you also have somebody like Cate Blanchett, who's, you know, an amazing, skilled actress, beautiful, but also a character actress and can also hold attention for, you know, 2 hours. And so I think when actors are coming in for those leading roles, it's important for them to really bring in their own essence and know what makes them special and unique and individual. And then there's all the other roles. Sometimes you're just there to help the lead, you know, give them information for them to process. And being able to, you know, fit in into a situation and not necessarily have to stand out in some great charismatic way where it might pull away from what the scene requires. So I think in terms of auditioning and looking at the scenes, really figuring out, you know, what is required of them within the context of the scene, and that's what they should bring in to the audition.
I'm so glad that you are bringing this up, and I love the way you described it. Personal charisma is so, so great. It made me think of this time that I met Ashton Kutcher, and you know, I know this is like a cliche term, but it felt like he had swallowed a light bulb. You know what I mean? And it's like some of these actors just have that, and I just sort of wonder, like, what is that? And can we help actors, you know, tap into that, so to speak, or?
Yeah, I think, you know, it transcends not just acting. I think it's when you're in a restaurant and your eyes keep going to somebody because they just have a certain something, whether it's a mystery or that light about them. And the tapping into it, I don't know, one time I was, you know, in a very early stages of figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. And I was studying acting at Syracuse, and the teacher just made us all go on stage one by one and just stand there and shine our light. I don't know if that will be helpful for everybody.
That is. I think I love to talk about that on my show because, of course, we're doing this show to help actors. And I do think that's incredibly great advice and helpful because I think what happens is that the stress and all these other factors start to cover over the actor's light. And I want to try and help them get connected to it and reduce their stress so that they can access this personal charisma.
Right. I know I have a lot of actor friends. Well, not a lot. I say I have a very selective group of actor friends who don't talk my ear off about acting, and that's why they're my friend. But, you know, that have that special light, that infectious being. And I see it often when they go into the audition process that it does get dimmed down because they're trying to figure out what we want. And I think it would be good for anybody out there to just sort of collect from their friends what makes them special. Like, what do you see in me that you would want to watch, you know, and just like remembering those qualities about yourself that is special to you.
That is wonderful. Asking their friends, that is so good. I mean, that's something that friends tell each other about dating. Like when friends help you create a dating profile.
Very similar. I think casting is like us finding the perfect mate for the director, for the person they're playing opposite of. And it's all energy and chemistry.
Exactly. I use a lot of dating analogies, you know, like one of them is coming to the audition with your whole bag of tricks. And as you just said, like the actor thinks they're trying to come up with what will please us instead of just being themselves, right? And that whole, it's very constricting to worry about what we want. We just want to see you.
Right.
So don't come to your date with a ring and a tuxedo. It's too much, you know?
Especially when wanting feedback from us, like almost right away. I think a lot of actors don't know the stress we're under and the amount of calls and emails and ideas and things that are floating in our own heads. And for them, of course, it's so important that they finally get in the room. And, you know, I will say I'm a pretty like generous person, an open person, but not everybody is going to be like that. So it's kind of like going in without requesting feedback, just like feeling that, you know, you are there for a reason, you were chosen to be there, and having that confidence, and then leaving and letting the rest, you know, be up to the gods.
Absolutely. That release, that surrender, so to speak, is so important.
Yes. And I also think in terms of like personal light, that acting or you, you know, identifying yourself as an actor is not the only thing that you are. So many people that are just interesting to me as people are people that, you know, like to read a bunch of things or help others or, you know, into philanthropy or growing their garden or building a deck or, you know, just having a full rounded life to rely on and not just that your entire identity is wrapped up into being an actor.
That's so good. You know, you'll probably relate to like seeing people you like so much come in. They don't book and they don't book and they don't book. And then one day they come in and they're just booking everything. And you ask, like, well, what happened? What's different? Oh, well, I started my own record company in my house. And oh, I had a baby. Or oh, it's like when they start to live their full lives, then the acting thing starts to kick in.
Yes, definitely. And you can tell, like, I'll never forget this one New York actress came in and I was like, your entire energy is different. I was like, I think you're in love. And she was like, you're right. I am in love. I met a firefighter and we're in love. And, you know, there was always sort of a little bit of a chip, you know, this business can get to you and it can really chip away at you, I guess. And her entire energy had shifted. And I'll never forget it. I mean, I've been in many, 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 many auditions and it was a memorable moment because I was so happy for her as a person.
I remember the wonderful Ellen Stewart who had La Mama Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She taught a class once at my college, and she said every actor has to have a candy store. So something else other than the acting to do exactly what you're saying, which is like really have a full rounded life. Are there any other things you think actors can do for like stress relief or being more expansive?
I think, you know, pulling out a bunch of plays and trying on different roles and, you know, not just sitting there waiting for the phone to ring, to always be in search of deepening their training. But I think, you know, of course, like there's meditation and, you know, so many things like that. But I always think, you know, it can be a little bit too self-oriented and to like really get out of yourself. If you're so consumed about like what the job is next, call a friend who does something else and see how their life is going. Kind of like take it off of yourself for a moment and look at people, because that's who you're emulating. I think a lot of times some actors who are starting early don't realize that a lot of roles don't require the drama. Let's say it's like a regular guy who works at FedEx, you know, he's not a trained actor who you're playing. He's not somebody who has their emotions at their fingertips. He's a regular guy. And making sure you're staying in touch with just who people are and all types of people and what their backgrounds might be. And just thinking about others, I think, that sort of empathy for others.
I like to say, as a way to shift the energy, if an actor is nervous, like especially in LA, well, it doesn't have to be LA. I was going to say in your car on your way over to your audition, but it could be on your subway, or now it could be waiting for your Zoom call, but to wish the person that you're going to meet well. Think of Jess on your way to the audition, and you know, she's got a lot going on, and wish her well. And just that little subtle energy shift can help.
Oh yeah, I do that for directors I'm afraid of or situations that I know might be stressful, or I always try to kill everything with kindness.
Yeah, it does work, doesn't it?
Yes.
Again, it's not like some magic thing. It's just a shifting. It's an opening, and we casting directors can see when you come into our offices, you know, we can see if you're just grounded and relaxed, and that is really going to help us see you and cast you.
Right. It should be a joyful thing.
It should be, right. We're not your enemy. That's definitely one thing that's come up a lot on the podcast, is we really want actors to know we are on your side.
Yes. Even though we may not be able to sit there and chat and be your best friend, but knowing that we do, we need the solution. Any of the casting that I've done has come from somebody helping me in some way, whether that actor showing up that day, being fully prepared and perfect for the part, or if it's in a search situation, you know, they read the flyer and they showed up. I don't ever take sole credit for casting. I think it's like everybody needs everybody.
Absolutely. And that's just for life in general, right? And when you say fully prepared, will you talk about that a little bit? What is a fully prepared actor for you?
I think somebody who really has lived a moment before the scene has started. I really like to know that I am now going into the world of this character, and they just had a phone call and now they're coming into this scene, something that's alive from somewhere before and is going to continue to be alive after the scene. And I think that people will study different ways of approaching that, but it's really figuring out who your character is and their background and really sort of deep diving into that. Because I think without it, it's sort of flimsy, you know. A lot of people can say lines and seem believable, but it's the deepening of who that person might be.
That's really interesting. So to make a choice, come in and sort of make a choice about what did this character do just before this scene, and what would they maybe do right after?
Yeah, because I think you're setting yourself right into the stakes of the person and their day. And the 20 years that they lived before this day, you know, you could fill probably a journal with all those notes, and there's probably not enough time for every audition. But the deeper you go with who the person's life is, I think helps bring them into that first moment. Because the most important moment, and I'm sure many actors have heard this, is in the beginning. We're making decisions pretty much in the first 30 seconds. And it can get better as it goes along, or we could start to see more potential if for some reason it's a little bit shaky at the start. But it's so important to feel extremely grounded, especially in that beginning, because then after that, it's just listening.
And where do you stand on memorizing versus not?
I think it shows. I mean, especially right now, because it's so competitive. I mean, it's always been extremely competitive, but now it's even at a whole other level. And I think it shows that you're ready to go on set. I don't think we notice every word, but I do think showing that you are prepared, we can trust more, especially if we don't know you, that you'll show up and you'll be prepared on set.
Right. It's a memorization, but not like a full performance. You know, in other words, don't make it about memorizing. So if you go up on your line, it doesn't become, oh, I'm really sorry, can I start again? And, oh, I thought, gotta go run and get my sides and start over, right?
Yes. I think it's about memorizing what the story is of the scene. So if someone asked you, like, what's this scene about? You memorize that first. So you know, like, what story am I telling in this moment? And then the lines. But yeah, I think anybody I've ever met has never cared. So I think the biggest no-no is if you mess up a word on like the last three lines, don't stop yourself. Keep going. We already are with you. We're with the scene. And we'll tell you if we need to have like a clean take and we'll do it again.
Right. Exactly. Like, trust us. You don't have to be in your head and our head.
Right.
Trust that we know what we're doing. We've been doing this for a long time. We've had many days or months or weeks with the director knowing what they want.
Right.
That process with the director is so rare because casting directors are the first people hired on a film.
True. And I think sometimes for a lot of directors, their favorite part, because they have some time and a lot of them have actually written the script. So these characters are really in their heads. And then talking with us about qualities and people and possibilities, you know, I think it's fun for them to see the words come to life and all the different ways that it could be.
And we have this rare time where there's no other department heads pulling at the director yet.
Or like TV directors hired and they have like 2 seconds before they go scout and casting sessions are at like 6 a.m. and it's unfortunate for everybody.
That's a great point. That is something unique to film, is that 12 weeks or so before other department heads are hired or, you know, but TV is totally different. Interesting.
I mean, for the pilot, it's about the same, but like a running show, it can be super quick and less of that, you know.
And what about casting as a craft, as something impossible to codify, so to speak? So what is that? Like, what is casting? How do we help people understand it?
You know, I think it's like painting. It's like putting together a puzzle. It's you start with one thing and that energetic piece affects the next. And that fits together, and then you go to the next, and then hopefully that fits together, and then you try to figure out something that will change the energy completely to sort of surprise everybody, and you put that together, and then hopefully at the end, it's a really creative masterpiece.
You know, you can hold a costume, you can see how the costume designer sewed, and can see how the editor cuts. How do we explain what it is that we do?
I do a lot of my casting based on what I want the trailer to look like.
That's so cool.
I think like, oh, okay, if I was a regular person, not in the industry, and I saw that person's in this movie and this person's in this movie, and oh, this is a face I've never seen before, but I want to know more about them. I think that's probably one of my biggest guidelines. I've gotten to do big movies and big TV shows, but I've also done a ton of smaller independent films. And so what I'm helping them do is get into film festivals. And so a lot of times they're not going to get the biggest names because they can't afford them. And everybody's like ultra low budget, scale plus 10. So I try to put together something that if I was looking at the Sundance brochure, I'd be like, oh, I want to see that movie. I like this collection of people. You know, it has to intrigue me, I guess. And I just sort of go from that instinct.
That's inspiring. I love it. I also like to ask people about their coffee and tea ritual. Do you have one?
Coffee is mandatory. I actually usually have one cup in the morning and I sip on it all day because I think the day just sort of takes over. But when the coffee cup is empty, it's a very depressing moment. I never enjoy the second one as much. And then it means that, you know, every little sip is actually like something that I look forward to in like in between the calls and the breaks and take a moment for myself.
And is it a drip coffee or is it a latte?
It's actually an instant coffee.
Ooh.
It's so lazy.
Gosh, I think you might be our first instant coffee guest.
I know. Well, instant coffee is terrible, but I did find one that I love. And now I'm just religious about it. I can't change it up. Sometimes like midday, I'll walk to a La Colombe down the street and get like a special coffee. But that does mean that I'm going to be like, you know, really wired because they're like cold brew is, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Have you ever, speaking of instant, have you ever tried a Greek frappe?
Yes. Maybe that's how I found my first love because I've been to Greece a couple of times and that's when we had them there. So maybe that's why.
That's why. And also maybe that can help you not be sad when your cup is empty. Maybe you can make a Greek frappe for the second portion.
I know. If I should. I don't know if like coffee is the best thing for my system. I have a very sort of natural, highly nervous system. You know, everybody always said that I was like, so like California and Zen. And I see myself or my insides as like running on at like 150.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. And it, you know, it is like the right temperament for our job because we have to be doing so many things at once.
Right. It's just like, bing, good morning, here we go. Like, it's like, rip the Band-Aid off and just go for it.
Right. And we are, again, unlike other heads of departments, we are information central, right? We are, the producers need us, the agents need us, the director needs us, the actors need us. So
it's true. We're sort of like Switzerland, I guess.
Exactly. Any specific casting stories you want to share or casting challenges, casting triumphs?
Well, I had the most fun, I think, casting Precious because I had no idea what it was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be a big movie at the time. I got to leave the office and go sit in lunchrooms and restaurants and walk the streets. And I just thought that part of it was fun in terms of like really like just like searching for people. I think I really like energetic shifts for my own life. So that was like taking me out of the office and just changing it up. Or with Euphoria, it had me move to LA and all of a sudden learn a whole new group of actors, which I'd say I'm at like 1/10 of knowing. So it's like I'm at a different level of school. Like I thought I had my master's, but it's not the case. There's so much to learn, and it kind of brought me back to my like original state of being, you know. I didn't know everything and I didn't know every actor's rep. Like in New York, you don't even have to look up on IMDb, you know, they just like all like flow through me and I can just call without even thinking. And here it's like studying for a whole new exam.
Right. There is like a small town feeling in New York.
Yes. And it also is still growing, but I think I had become a little bit complacent because there wasn't enough time to discover new, especially when you're doing three TV shows at once, the time is so limited and you have, you know, an hour to figure out who to bring up the next day. So you kind of go through your Rolodex in your head. Okay, I'll bring these five in because I know they'll nail it. But then here, if you don't know those five, you have to read 50 to find your new five.
And how is it working for you in the pandemic with self-tapes?
I like it because I have a lot of time, so I can sit there and watch them all and really try to learn them. I've done a lot of Zoom callbacks. I've cast two movies fully off of Zoom and like tons of auditions and even chem reads on Zoom. But I think how I feel about it in this moment would change if this was the way it was always going to be. But I do feel like the way that we experience people is through this kind of lens. So it does give at least the director an idea of looking at them on film because it's through a camera. So I feel like it's been effective, but there is that certain thing that we won't really know until they appear on set.
And what about anything to say to actors in terms of maybe structure for self-taping?
You are competing with so many people. Really look your best and be lit right. I think I've seen some that were a little too overlit where I can see the light reflected in their eyes. But other than that, the lighting is pretty much everything. And I feel bad, you know, they have to now have all of this set up and work hard and all this, and they send it out and they get zero feedback. And I know, like, for a lot of actors, it's been kind of crushing or depleting. But also for some people, it gives them an opportunity to do it as many times as they want, because for us, we're like one or two times. For them, they could do it 20 times. We don't know. But I think it's really about them focusing those first, you know, those first couple of moments and letting us come to them in terms of where the character is and coming from, and really like letting us like just have a little window into the beginning so that they can lock us in.
And I think, you know, what you said, that this isn't forever, is also really key for people's states of mind and stress levels. It's like, don't worry, actors, you know, we'll get back to normal. And, you know, you've had more time to hydrate and watch films and watch performances, right?
And I will say, I think it's actually been a little bit beneficial in terms of casting directors' openness to watching more tapes. Like if they only have an hour, they're only going to bring in five. If it's self-tapes, sure, I'll pick 20 more, you know, like what's 20 more? And then, you know, oh, here's an opportunity to learn somebody new.
That's really great. That, I think that's great for actors to hear. It's really opened things up. All right, well, there's your silver linings, actors. It's been so great. I think there's just so much here, so much gold to mine here. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do the show.
Thanks, Joe. You're the best.
And to my audience, thank you for listening today. I hope you found the episode enlightening. It's really my true desire to share a unique perspective on the casting process and help you feel more confident and inspired. The podcast is available on Anchor and Spotify. For new episode updates, you can follow the show on Instagram at The Casting Session. Please feel free to share this with your friends and write a review. And tune in next week for more behind-the-scenes gold. I'm Joanna Colbert, and I'll see you at the next casting session.